Pete at the Ham Lot with the Blower Radio, and very happy to be here tonight on this Wednesday night. It's very foggy out here where I am at the beach, but we'll survive. I have a very interesting guest this evening. His name is Thomas Hughes, and he actually had me as a guest on his Blog Talk Radio show not too long ago, and that's posted on my site somewhere. And I have to say that he was a delightful host, and he is an interesting individual, and I'm going to let him introduce himself in more depth in a minute. But suffice to say that the show is going to be about his experiences with what is called by some Sasquatch, by others Bigfoot, whatever you want to call it, and then we might also go into some other topics as well. So I just want to make a few announcements in general. First of all, we are sort of fast approaching the time when our ticket sales for Awake and Aware are going to become more crucial than ever, because we just found out that Richard Hoagland is going to be one of our guest speakers, and as many people will be very familiar with his work. The latest is on my blog, and I encourage everyone listening to go to my blog and read what I've written there. Basically, I talked to Richard last night, and he gave me some inside tips about LNN. The interesting thing about LNN at the moment is that I have gotten behind-the-scenes whistleblower testimony in this regard prior to when Hoagland went on Coast to Coast and announced that it was a piloted vehicle, in essence. And apparently that information was known by certain sectors in JPL, as a matter of fact, and made their way to me. And now Hoagland apparently also has some similar information and is apparently getting his from some unrelated sources to mine. And so that begins to substantiate the whole notion, as you can appreciate. And the idea that that might be a piloted craft changes the playing field a whole great deal, as you can imagine, simply because, first of all, that would be disclosure, an ET invasion scenario, be they positive or negative, who knows at the moment. And then that would be in all in one sort of bundle. And I don't know if anyone is quite prepared for that, but I hope that they are. I think Project Camelot has certainly done their part to prepare people. So if you have been awake and aware and you've been paying attention, you will be up to speed on what that might mean. Now, there are people that are saying, in fact, Hoagland is also sort of hinting that it might be the return of the Anunnaki. I have some other information that has indicated for quite some time that they may be returning, and indeed that this might be them, or at least a faction of the Anunnaki, because as many will know who listen to my show, there are Anunnaki, as Bob Dean says, very likely walking the halls of the Pentagon at this time. And I know that some people in our military-industrial complex, at least in the black top secret areas, have been interacting with some of these individuals for quite some time. And then they are also still on Mars, to my knowledge. And we have a base there, so there's interaction there. But what's going on, if it's the Anunnaki, then you have to bring in to the fore the notion that it could be Horus, what is known as Horus by the Egyptians, Marduk by some others, especially black magicians and so on. And James Casbolt talked quite a bit about Marduk a long time ago when he first started releasing information on the web. He's a very questionable source, in part because of the mind control aspect of his testimony, but nonetheless, I do think there are some important grains of truth there that should be noted. And so we have a very interesting dynamic going on at this time. As I said, Richard will speak at my Awake and Aware conference, which is the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of September. And we already are selling tickets. At this time, they are at a discounted rate on the internet. And we have a wonderful lineup. In addition to Richard, we have David Wilcock, which many people are huge fans of, and I'm aware of that. And we also have Rich Dolan. We have Marcia Schaefer, Miriam Delicato. We have Bob Dean and Sean David Morton and Graham Hancock. So and also Duncan O'Finian and Axe. Axe is a special guest of Duncan's. That is a super soldier program person who is going to come forward for the first time at our conference. So it's actually going to be action-packed, you might say. And at that time, we'll be very close to one of the dates when Elanine is supposed to be in a certain relationship with or trajectory in relation to the Earth. I mean, JPL scientists are saying it's coming through on October 16th. However, there have been other people that were talking about it as a comet, that it would make a certain trajectory that would then come near the Earth. For one thing, 9/26 was a date thrown out there, and also a date in October, and then I'm told another date or a few dates in November. So all of that bears watching and taking a look at. Elanine is not the brown dwarf, so it's very important that people understand the distinction. And I'm going to be having also on the 17th of June a preliminary discussion among sort of the top minds in this sector in regard to Elanine, and that will include Richard Hoagland, Keith Hunter, who many people will recognize, was on my show quite a little while ago, and I've also done a live stream interview with him. Very important information that he's conveying. And we also have, let's see, who else? Oh, Carl Johan Kalaman, who's, as you know, an expert on the Mayan calendar. And then we have Andy Lloyd, who is written a book about the dark star or brown dwarf that he spent over 10 years investigating from the science side. Then he abruptly, after he published that, changed gears and started writing fiction about the Anunnaki. What's interesting about that is that I believe he has contacts in the secret community as a result of living quite near to GCHQ in the UK. And one would wonder why he chose fiction, except that in some ways it's very obvious, at least to me, and that is simply to protect his own life and the lives of his family for what he knew. So that that's going to be a Camelot Roundtable video conference and should be very exciting to be a part of. And we are doing some early bird ticket sales for $20 to participate in the live event. We do pay the speakers for these kinds of events, so they're not free, unlike most of our material on Camelot, and I encourage you to pay the money. And if you buy the advance ticket, obviously you're going to be paying a lower rate than when it goes on sale in a more serious way, probably closer to the conference. So again, that's June 17th, and all of this is on my ProjectCamelot.org website. Okay, so without further ado, I want to bring on Thomas Hughes, and I know you've been very patient, Thomas. Are you still there?
I am here, yes.
Okay, great. And very nice to talk to you.
Oh, it's nice to speak with you again, Carrie. We had a great show on my show, April 8th. Very good.
Well, great. Now, what I'd like you to do is introduce yourself, tell a bit about your background, and then we'll sort of go from there.
Yeah, my name is Thomas Hughes. I'm 41 years old. I'm unique in that I'm 6 feet 7 inches tall. I wear a size 17 shoe. I'm disabled. I have multiple sclerosis, so I don't walk around that good anymore. And I've had vertigo for several years now, so I walk around like a drunk man at times with no alcohol involved. I don't know what else you want me to say about myself, but just a simple Texan, you know.
Okay, isn't it true that you have Native American background?
Yes, I'm part of the Soligi tribe, or what everybody knows as Cherokee. The original name of Cherokee is Soligi.
Okay.
So, yes.
Do you know what percentage?
I'm a quarter Cherokee. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, and the rest, what would you say?
Irish and Welsh.
Okay. So you're a little like Duncan O'Finian, that combination.
Yes.
Okay. And now you've been having, I don't know, is it the Sasquatch experiences that actually propelled you to do a radio show, or was it other things?
Well, that's an interesting paradigm in itself. There were so many people trying to get me to do an internet talk show, and I didn't want to. And so I compromised and co-hosted one, and the host of that show sent me an email with the username and password for the show, and he said, if the show goes on, it's because you took it over. And he had 5 guests scheduled, so I was like, well, somebody just dropped a ball in my lap. I guess I have to drop it myself or pick it up and run with it. So I picked it up and ran with it.
Okay. Now I want to tell everyone who's listening that we do have a chat portion of this radio show. If you go to the front page of projectcamelot.org, that lands you on the portal, and you can click on the live chat link and then scroll down. And if you keep scrolling down, you'll find the chat box where you can enter whatever name you want to use today. and Thomas, I also encourage you to join in if you're at all interested while you're listening and talking here, because what happens during the show is that people will chat, but at the same time they will also ask questions in the chat if they're so moved. So it can be kind of fun to participate in that regard. We also have a call-in aspect to the show that we can use call-in numbers later on once we kind of get moving here. So there's a lot going on at this time, as you can appreciate, and it's not completely clear to me why people would want. I mean, I understand how you might have been propelled to be a radio talk show host, but why did other people want you to be one? Do you know?
Well, because of the experiences that I was having, I'm being 6'7", I never imagined I would see a man that call me midget, but I have, and it's never bothered me. I've never been scared or afraid or anything like that. So people were encouraging me because of the experiences I was having to start my own internet show, and I was like, no. So I didn't want to do it. Like I say, it was a ball that was dropped in my lap, so I decided to run with it. So that's the only thing I could say for the radio show, the internet show that I have. I've since gotten into it, and I'm doing 4 or 5 shows a week right now with American Indians, and I cover all sorts of subjects. I just had Scott Mandelker on my show Saturday night. I'm sure you've heard his name before.
No, actually, I don't think so. Maybe the pronunciation is different than what I know, but go ahead and tell me who that is.
He's been on Coast to Coast with David Wilcock before, and David Wilcock did some work for him in the beginning of their awakening or bringing out of information.
I see. Okay, what's his specialty?
He came to his awareness through his PhD in East-West philosophy, and also his many years spent in Buddhist temples, both in Thailand and in Laos, because that's where he was at when I had him on the show Saturday night. So he's done several interviews and talks about things similar to what Wilcock does.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that's interesting. Yes, I don't think I've heard of him at any rate. Just to get into the Sasquatch material right away, and let me ask you this. Have you ever been to Scotland?
No, I have not.
Okay, so you haven't been to Scotland or had any exposure to the Lochs and the Loch Ness Monster or any of that?
No, not in this lifetime anyway.
Okay.
That's all I can say about that.
Wanted to check on that. All right. Well, the Sasquatch, as you have encountered him, and maybe there is something going on with the idea of your own height in regard to a similarity to the Sasquatch or some affinity that you might have with them. On the other hand, perhaps it's some Anunnaki genes that have given you this sort of special height. But at any rate, what is your experience? Do you want to sort of start at the beginning and talk about how you encountered Sasquatch and why? Like, what was your circumstances in life that brought you to encounter a Sasquatch?
Well, in 2008, I had been laid off from my job in 2007. My ex-wife and I had both been laid off at the same time from the same company. And we both interviewed for and applied for jobs and could not find one. And I ended up going on disability. But in February of that year, I was sitting in my office outside, and I just closed my eyes, and I said, I don't know who's listening, but I'm done. I'm ready to go. And then I had the insert mouth open mouth insert foot moment when I said, but, that three-letter word, but. I said, but if somebody wants me to stick around for any number of reasons, you got to give me a reason to wake up every day. And it was in the first part of May 2008 that I saw the Sasquatch female in person about 50 feet away, and she's about my height, about 6.5 feet tall. And I thought, well, there's a reason to get up every day. So that became my passion at that time.
That's very interesting, but where did you see her?
Oh, well, my family has 900 acres just down the road here, about 10 miles from me. And I was walking down the dirt road early one morning. The full moon was off to the west, and the rising sun was off to the east, so there was just enough light to where I could see individual trees. It wasn't just a black blur out there like you wouldn't have in pre-light conditions. So that's when I saw her in person, in the early morning light with two light sources. And, you know, the first thing I said as I kept walking, I thought, my God, how can people call them monsters? She's gorgeous. And she was.
Okay. Well, now, first of all, where is this? What state?
It's in Texas.
In Texas. Okay. So we've got a short break here, and we'll be right back talking to Thomas Hughes about Sasquatch.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
July 4th, come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a 3-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Trafficant.
Man, they railroaded that guy.
Mark and Rose.
Hey, I saw him in Freedom of Fascism.
You want great rock?
We got it.
How about the most influential, hardest working band in the movement today? Poker Face.
We got the Amaro.
Burn the Ballad.
And Killer.
Doug Hawk.
Confront your enemies.
The Crunch.
Kinetic Blue,
Secret System Band,
Scrap Metal Bomb,
Rebel Inc.
Man, that's a lot of bands.
Camp out under the stars along the Delaware River like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton.
What else are you going to do this 4th of July?
Sit around with family members you hate? Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every year?
No way, man.
I'm going to Freedom Palooza.
Go to freedompalooza.com
for all the details.
That's freedompalooza.com.
Freedom Palooza.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, Radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it. Like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation, grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Freedom Files. Weekday. Files. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio.
Radio.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Thomas Hughes. Thomas, are you still with us?
I am.
Lovely. So right before the break, I had asked you a question in regard to Sasquatch, and you said that the location of where, of your parents' property, I guess is how you called it, was in Texas. But from the sound of it, there are a lot of trees in that particular area. Is that right?
Yeah, I just want to clarify that it's, you know, my family's property. My cousins have property there, and the neighbors next to my family, they're distant relation, and they've got 1,200 acres. And so I've got 2,100 acres that I can go play on, and it's woods. It's hill country.
Uh-huh.
It's all hardwoods, oak forest mainly. But,
okay.
It's a really nice place to go. You can certainly get away from civilization when you go out there.
Okay, great. So when you say that the Sasquatch was beautiful, and I assume she was by herself?
Yes.
Do you want to describe her? What did she look like?
Well, from about the waist down, she looked like what you would see in bodybuilders or fitness models that have those real bulgy legs, those big muscular legs. And then her upper body looked like a normal human female, a little bit longer arms than humans would have. And she had long hair on her head, and her face was gorgeous. I mean, she had a pointed or angled chin, much like humans do. So,
Why did you think, in other words, did she have hair on the rest of her body? What made you think she was a Sasquatch at all?
Oh, yeah, she had hair all over her body. The light was enough, and she was close enough to me where I could see the six-pack or stomach muscles on the front of her body underneath the hair. But, yeah, she had hair all over her body.
Okay. And at the time that you saw her, were you at all frightened?
No, I wasn't. It was startling.
And how far away was she?
About 50 feet.
Okay. Did anything else happen in that encounter? Did she run away? I mean, what was the sort of dynamic?
Yeah, she ran between two stands of trees. So I saw her for about 5 seconds, and she wasn't running fast, more like a jog is the way she came through. So I just saw her for about 5 seconds, and I kept right on walking. I didn't break stride, didn't fall down, didn't do anything that most people might do. I didn't take off running, pulling my hair out of my head or anything like that, you know.
Okay. But you were aware that you'd seen a Sasquatch. Did she see you?
Oh, yeah. She was looking right at me when she went jogging by, so she's very aware of me.
Okay. Yeah. And did you happen to see, I mean, her eyes, eye color, eye shape, that sort of thing?
It's very interesting. I couldn't see the eye color or the shape, but I got a photograph, and I was told to take the photograph by her. And, you know, people can think I'm as crazy as they want to. I've had so many people call me crazy. I've just adopted that as my middle name.
Sure.
You know, but one day in my head, I heard her say, "You have camera?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Take picture." So I got in my car and got the camera out and set it on the roof of my car and said, "Where?" out loud. And then I got the impression of where to take the photograph. So I snapped 5 photos going left to right in that section of the woods I just walked in. And I couldn't see anything in those photographs. So I sent those photographs to a woman that earlier in her life, she had worked for the NRO, which, you know, with that little three-letter acronym work. So she'd worked for them, and she started analyzing the photographs. And she called me on the phone 2 minutes later. She goes, "I don't know why you couldn't see her. She's sitting right there." And so I looked at the email she sent back at the photograph. She cropped it and changed the color a little bit. And she's peeking her head around a bush, and you could see her left eye. And she has a slit pupil, much like a goat's eye. So I imagine that's why they could see so well in the dark, because when their pupils dilate, they, you know, have basically a type of night vision because their pupils dilate so wide.
Okay, so you've kind of jumped ahead in your story, and you know, at this point we're just in the first experience that you had with her. But at that moment, so you briefly saw her, she saw you, and then you continued walking. How long after that did you encounter her again?
Oh, it was probably about 2 weeks later. That's when I had the experience that I thought my fuzzy head was going to pop off my body. I heard a voice, a female voice in my head, say to walk down that trail, which is over to my left. And I thought, well, you know, I'm out here in the woods, so who's going to call me crazy but myself? And so I thought, you know, I'm going down this trail. I don't want to go down that trail. And the voice said, "Don't argue. Go down that trail. Surprise for you." So I laughed and I said, "Okay, this must be my imagination. I'll go ahead and entertain my imagination." And I started walking down that trail, and I could hear what, you know, if anybody's ever walked in a oak forest or a hardwood forest, the leaves crunch as you're walking, the dead leaves. And so I could hear what sounded like somebody walking ahead of me around the corner of the trail I was going down. So I picked up my pace as best I could. Of course, when I got around there, the crunching of the leaves stopped, and I didn't see anyone. But right in the middle of the trail was a box turtle about the size of a car tire. Now, I've seen box turtles before, but I've never seen one that big.
Wow.
And it wasn't near any water source, so I walked over, and sure, it was a surprise. You wouldn't expect to see a box turtle away from water like that. And he was just starting to stick his head out like something had scared it. So I walked over and I picked up this turtle, and I'm looking at this turtle, and I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do with this turtle? I don't want a pet, and I don't eat turtles, so what am I supposed to do?" And the voice came into my head and said, "Why don't you put it back on the ground? What a novel idea." I said, okay, smarty pants. And I put the turtle down. And, of course, it was closed up in its shell at that point. And I walked down the trail to some gullies, you know, dry gullies. There was no water in them. About, I don't know, 50 feet away or so. And I stood there looking around in the gullies for about 15 seconds. And I turned around and started back down the trail so I could go down the trail I had originally started on. And the turtle was gone. And mind you, I'd only put the turtle down about 15 seconds before, and I looked around, and I'm listening, because I know turtles can move fast when they want to, but I should be able to hear them in the underbrush or see this turtle moving, and I could not see the turtle anywhere. So wow. I straightened up, and I said out loud, "What are you going to do with that turtle?" And the voice came into my head and said, "Well, I'm hungry." And I said, okay, you go ahead and enjoy your meal. I'm going to go back down the trail I started on. And that was my second encounter with her.
Okay, that's very interesting. So then what happened? What was the next time that you encountered her?
You know, when I got that photograph that day that she told me to take a picture of her, I got that photograph of her, and you just see the forehead and the eyeball and the left cheek as she's sticking her head out around the bush. And in the fifth photograph I took, you can see she's pulling her head back around the bush out of the way. And what's interesting about that is I just walked in those woods for about 30 minutes in that section of the woods across from my family's home. I was standing in the driveway when I took that photograph, so she was right over there, and I have no idea how close I've been to them before. Just that one night where I sat out there with only the full moon to see by, and when one started to come through the bushes right behind me, I couldn't sit still any longer. So I was about 5 feet away. That's how close they've been to me before.
Wow. Okay. Well, so at the moment, what happened was, You're saying you took a photograph, and those photographs, I believe you did send them to me, but that was a while back. Do you have them for people to go to a URL on your website?
Well, sure. If they go to Sasquatch and Spirituality, which is the name of my show, right there on the show page, that's my avatar or moniker for the show page. And that was the first photograph I took in 2008. I was walking in the woods and across a creek about 150 feet away. There's two individuals that are very clearly seen. One of them, you can see his nose and his eyeball, including the color of the eye. And he had his mouth open as he's watching me, and you can see his hand, his fingers holding onto a tree for balance, I guess. As they're watching me walk through the woods, and I had no idea they were there until I got home. I just had the feeling of being watched, so I turned the camera that way and went click, and then looked at it on the computer when I got home.
Okay, so. And actually, what you call Sasquatch Spirituality is just the end of the URL. Actually, the link is on the front page of ProjectCamelot.org. If you scroll down to my radio show, you'll see I have a link to his Blog Talk Radio, but it the URL is actually, you know, www.blogtalkradio.com and then /Sasquatch Spirituality. Is that correct?
That's correct. But people can also go to Google and just put in Sasquatch and Spirituality, and the results will come right to my show page in a Google search.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's an easy way.
And then as far as finding the photographs, where do the photographs exist on your page?
Oh, just as soon as they click on the whatever show they listen to or just go to my show page, there's one photograph right there with the two males that are watching me as I walk through the woods.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of like the Chinese in that regard. I hide it in plain sight. So.
Okay, very good. Yes, it's quite small, that photograph, though. I have to say, but one can see what if you look close enough. So, what happens at this time? You seem to have encountered more than one. Do you want to explain how that happened?
Well, I went to a friend of mine's in Northeast Texas to see if there was any activity out there, and of course there was. And what I didn't realize at the time is I was not interacting with a family unit. I was interacting with an entire tribe. when I went up there. There was a lot of them that came around that night, and my friend was very calm, but her husband was, you know, his fuzzy head was about to blow off his body with some of the stuff that was going on that night. So it was very interesting to go up there to Northeast Texas, because there's quite a bit more of them up there in that area. The pine forests in Northeast Texas is a more preferable home to them.
Okay, do you feel that these are interdimensional beings?
Well, you know, it's hard to say that because there's so little we know about, or most people know about, dimensions. I would say that they can shift their vibrational frequency of their body and go into a different reality, so to speak. If we're all vibrating at 13 hertz or 13 beats per second, they can essentially double their body's frequency, and they would become invisible at that point because they're not in the same frequency that we are. So, yeah, they can do that. I do know that. They've taught me that.
Okay. Now, you seem to have telepathic communication with them. I believe you've shown other people them, or other people have encountered them and been either in your presence or communicated with you. Do the other people also have telepathic communication, or are you unique in that way?
Well, everybody has telepathy of some sort. They're just not aware of it or haven't woke that part of themselves up.
No, that's actually not my question. I am aware that everyone has telepathic ability. What I'm asking is whether or not they reported actual telepathic communication with these particular beings.
An occasional one has, yes. There's a man in Georgia that recently had a breakthrough because he listened to what I was saying and made the choice to try it. And I asked him, instead of thinking it's your imagination, ask for validation. So when two great big tree limbs came flying in to where he was sitting at in the woods late at night, landed next to him, that was validation enough, because I'm sure the third tree limb was probably going to hit him in the forehead to wake him up. So, yeah.
Okay. So can you tell us how is this sort of interaction that you've had with these beings, has it progressed? In other words, are you still, you said this began in 2008, and it kind of, it changed your relationship, it sounds like, to your own, maybe to being here, first of all, and possibly to your own spirituality. But has this sort of interaction continued?
Yes, it's, you know, it does continue. I had, just jumping ahead a little, I had 15 people ascend on my family's place in October of last year. And I wasn't sure if there were going to be any of the hairy folks, as I call them, around or not. But every person that came had a Sasquatch experience of one kind or another. And everybody heard the 900-pound owl that night, one night.
Okay, I guess we're about to go to a commercial break here. There was some breaking up on your end, but let's go to the break, and we'll be right back with Thomas Hughes.
Sure.
Look around, choose your own ground.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Thomas Hughes about Sasquatch. Thomas, I was wondering, I pasted a link in your chat, and this particular website says that this is the sound that Sasquatch makes, and I wondered if you'd heard any sounds and whether or not if you click on the link you were able to identify that as a Sasquatch.
Well, I'm looking at the website now, and I'm just searching for the link for the sound itself, but I've heard them make quite a few sounds.
Okay. Well, let me click on it for you. And can you hear this?
Yes.
So that apparently is the sound.
That's one of the sounds that I've heard before, but you know, I'll send you a link and here and see if you can play this one that I've heard in this area in person before. So it's been really interesting to hear them, and I don't try to imitate their sounds. I make my own sounds. I bellow pretty loud. And that way they know it's me, and they'll answer me when I make that bellow. yeah, it's very interesting to communicate with them like that. And it's usually a location call that they'll make for physical location, because most of them can communicate telepathically with each other, so that's not an issue for them. Sometimes they need to know where each other is physically at. So you'll hear females make calls that you can hear for 4 or 5 miles. That's how loud they get sometimes.
Okay. Now, have you, like I was saying before the break, I was asking you sort of how this has progressed. And I'm just wondering, apparently, you know, people have become more aware of you since you've got a radio show. And I assume you talk about this from time to time on your show. Is that right?
I do, and sometimes I have guests on. I'm a new player to this game, so to speak, even though I've been doing it for 3 years now. There's a woman I've had on my show that's been dealing with them for about 50 years of her life in Oklahoma, and she recently took somebody out that used to be part of the BFRO, and he's not part of the BFR anymore because he didn't see his first Sasquatch until she took him out in the woods there in Oklahoma. So that's very interesting as well to hear the excitement, because I played that recording on my show that she gave me of that event.
Okay, you're quite garbly at this moment. I'm not sure if maybe you've got other websites and things going on, and the bandwidth is not able to handle it. But hopefully that'll be eliminated shortly. So you've sent me a website of link which I assume has sounds in it.
Yes. Am I still garbled? I closed the website that I was getting that link for.
Okay.
So that should have taken care of my bandwidth problem. But that woman is here in Texas. She lives about 2.5 hours from me, and she records sounds because she puts a recorder out at night quite frequently. And if you go to that website and scroll down to Siren Song, I've heard that call in person more than once where I'm at. And it's a female making that call, so you may want to play it so everybody can hear it.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard that in person before, and trust me, you can hear that a good 4 or 5 miles away. It's very loud.
Okay, very interesting. What I'm going to do with this link here is I'm going to paste it in the chat here, so that other people can hear it, or can investigate this particular site as they may have interest in that. Assuming my computer will let me do that. There's a lot of it's interesting how much bandwidth one of these shows takes and so on. The Skype sometimes has a problem. Anyway, I just put it into the chat for the people listening. Okay, well, at the moment, you know, I'm still wondering, in terms of the story of your interaction, did you go back and tell your wife about it, and was she interested, and was she, you know, was she happy about it? Did she have a reaction?
My ex-wife was pretty neutral about it at the time. We got divorced for other reasons, that things that were going on in our life, but she had no objection or didn't really feel one way or another about it, because she was just dealing with her own baggage in the trunk, so to speak. And
she never saw them or went out and witnessed any of this?
No, she did not.
Okay. But you, I assume you have friends or even family that have?
Well, I've got a brother. He's brother because he's part Indian as well. He's part Apache. And we started going out together. He would go across barbed wire fences, that sort of thing, where I could not go, and taking photographs, that sort of thing. And we got some very interesting photographs and recordings ourselves, including being growled at one time for what we were doing. But that's okay. We still weren't intimidated or scared or anything. It was a growl of frustration. It wasn't one of get out of here or I'm going to kill you. It was clearly a growl of frustration. We got that right away. And it's like, okay, we'll stop doing that.
So. Okay. So what is your – I mean, if you witnessed them, it sounds like you witnessed them quite a bit over the last few years. Have you, for example, seen them gathering food? Do they really eat, turtles? Or what do they eat?
Well, my understanding, because that's been questions of mine at times, what do they sustain themselves with? During the spring and the summer and into the fall, they're able to harvest vegetation. So that's their primary diet during that time of the year. They'll also eat turtles and sometimes snakes or rabbits, sometimes raccoons. But as you get into wintertime, when vegetation is very scarce, they'll around here, because we have so many that run in packs of 20 or 30, they eat wild hogs. Javelina pigs is what they're called. So they make very good use of the fact that these pigs breed so often and there's so many of them running around.
Really? So they do eat meat?
Yes. There are certain parts of the body that they will eat because it's the most nutritious part of the body. And then the rest they share with the coyotes. And there's a woman in Mississippi that's got recordings of that. And I've heard it in person where you will hear them what sounds like a cow bellow. And then it turns into a wolf howl. So you know it's not a wolf and you know it's not a cow. And the volume alone, you know it's not either one of those. And then after that stops, about 20 seconds later, that's how long the howl goes on for. That's when all the coyotes jump in and start doing their yipping and yapping like coyotes do. And so they're sharing the kill with the coyotes, making sure the body doesn't go to waste that they've killed.
That's interesting because, well, from what I'd heard, at least the reports that I'd heard, they were talking about them being mainly vegetarian. So this is, I guess it's the first I've heard of it, to the contrary.
During the time when vegetation is plentiful, they stick to that more often than anything else. But when you get into the winter months where vegetation is very scarce, they will resort to meat. They don't have to very often because a lot of times they have food caches of vegetables that will keep or vegetation that will keep. There's farmers in Kansas that plant extra rows of corn because they'll harvest corn at night and make a food cache out of it so that they have corn to eat during the winter as well.
Oh, really? So you're basically kind of in touch with a whole community of people out there, sounds like across the United States anyway, that are having some interactions with these beings.
Yes. I've been introduced to a number of people that have their own interactions, everything from someone in New Jersey to a person out in Arizona that has his own experiences out there. So that's two very just different regions of the country, but yeah, they're pretty much everywhere.
Okay, very interesting. All right, well, in terms of your, you know, you said that you were kind of you asked for a sign and you asked if something could be shown to you, and then from what I'm getting from our conversation is that you considered that the interaction with the Sasquatch was something of a giving you a purpose in life. Can you elaborate there?
I don't know if it was a purpose. I don't like to use terminology like that. But
we're actually going to have a break here at the top of the hour, and then after that, we'll have quite a long span where we can answer that question in more depth in whatever terms you'd like. Okay, we'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it. Like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation, grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Cassidy, Project Camelot, or radio. It sounds like we're having some interference in the background. I don't know if other people are hearing it or if it's just me. So I just wanted to make that statement, and then perhaps people can let me know what they're experiencing, whether or not, they're getting a clear signal while they're listening here or not. But at any rate, Thomas, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, great. So what I'd asked you right before the break was sort of, and it sounds like you maybe wanted me to word it differently, but in essence what I was saying was, because you had given the description of initially having sort of a moment in time when you decided that you were through with your incarnation on Earth, unless there was some reason for you to be here, and then your trajectory sounded as though your experience with the Sasquatch had subsequently turned you around to feeling that you had a reason to continue here. Am I reading that wrong, or can you elaborate?
Well, the wording that I used is give me a reason to get up every day.
Uh-huh.
And so that was certainly a reason to get up every day, because I was done. And I'm just, you know, I'm ready to go. I really am. And so seeing, I've been around humans all my life that I've been told many times that I'm naturally intimidating because I'm so big. And so being around little humans, so to speak, it hasn't been a roller coaster ride that's been any fun, put it that way. And so I was done. And finally I meet these people, begin to see these people and interact with them, that can literally call me midget. The male that I've seen leaves a 21-inch footprint. I don't know how tall he is. I would say he's somewhere between 5 and 6 feet wide in the shoulder. He's big.
Wow. That is very big.
Yeah, so and it never scared me when I saw him in person. In fact, I was walking towards him, and because I lose my balance so easy, I have to look down when I walk. So I took 3 steps forward and looked up to see him and make sure I was going still in the right direction, and he was gone. And so I was hollering loudly, "My God, you're 3 times my size, and you're the one leaving?" So it was kind of frustration for me. It wasn't anything where I was scared at all. I was going towards him, and he just vanished. I don't know if he got behind a stand of trees or what, but
wow.
I went ahead and left at that point. But yeah, I've sat down there. It's really interesting. Out of the 15 people that were here in October, 5 of them saw them in person. So they can't call me crazy anymore or delusional, because they saw him themselves.
Sure. Well, I believe that these beings do visit our realm, and at least one of my interviewees, I believe it's Ashiana Dean, does talk about Sasquatch as sort of an interdimensional being that does come and visit this dimension from time to time, and it may be also in Dolores Cannon's books, I believe. But at any rate, you know, I wonder if your interaction with them has also changed you in any way.
Yes. When I first got started in this, I shared MindSpeak with an elder. I want to say he was over 80 years old when I first met him. And he was working very hard. He was harsh on me, but he was working very hard to wake me up and make me understand that I'm more than just human. So every conversation I had with him ended with two words, dirty human. And eventually I got on an even keel with him as I started to show more respect and get away from the things that humans tend to do. That's when him and I got on a more even keel, and I wasn't a dirty human anymore. So that was very interesting going through that process.
Okay, so what you're saying is your experience with is this the let me see, was it Apache or Cherokee?
Oh, Apache is my brother. I'm my Apache brother. I'm Cherokee.
You're Cherokee. So, okay, so the elder that you're dealing with was Cherokee?
No, the elder I was dealing with was a Sasquatch.
Oh, okay.
And every conversation or MindSpeak conversation I had with him ended with two words, dirty human.
I see. Okay. So when you had a conversation, was it, again, a telepathic communication?
It was. I call it MindSpeak because telepathy doesn't exactly cover everything that goes on in a communication like this, because whenever you get a communication like this, sometimes you get words, but you definitely get the feelings or emotions from the individual, along with sometimes pictures or impressions. So sometimes there's no words involved whatsoever.
Sure. I understand.
So
okay, well, yeah, and I appreciate that. I myself am what's called clairaudient from time to time. I do hear things. And I've had validation of those things, and I also hear them ahead of time. In other words, I hear them in my head, and then I hear them in the real world, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I do understand how that goes on. I've got a question coming in the chat here that I think I'll ask you, if you don't mind. And the person is asking, how would you describe the face versus an image? Well, they've actually pasted a link here, so I don't know if you signed into the chat at all here?
No, I haven't been able to.
Okay, well, maybe let me
bandwidth.
I hear you. Well, I'm going to paste it here, and hopefully that won't interfere with too much. That's a picture that they apparently are sending you. I don't know if you're able to see that or not.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Some of them do have more ape-like features, and some of them look just like us, very human-like. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's a decent representation, but again, they're as varied in the way they look as humans are. I mean, I've walked out, you know, when I lived in Houston, I've gone to the mall and seen people that look more like gorillas than gorillas do, so.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm actually not so surprised about that. When you've communicated with these beings, have you actually asked them questions about the way they live, where they might come from, possible other worlds they might inhabit, any of that sort of thing?
The female who I interact with the most, I asked her one time when I first started this. I asked her, I said, do you visit with or get on alien spacecraft? And her immediate and very curt answer was, you're not ready for that knowledge. So that was kind of an answer in itself of yes, we do, and no, we're not going to say anything to you about it. But that was her answer. You're not ready for that knowledge. So I didn't ask anything else about it. I did ask her, this is very interesting to me, I asked her what they call God or if they have a God, and she said, you mean the All-Father? And I said, is that what you call God? And she goes, well, yes. I said, okay. And she said, we also give thanks for the shiny one. And I said, the shiny one? She goes, yes. And I said, in mind speak to her, I said, can you explain to me who is the shiny one? Well, the shiny one came for all of us, so we give thanks to him. I said, okay, and I'm waiting for the Twilight Zone music to start playing because she's basically indicating to me what Christians call Jesus Christ, but they call it the shiny one. I'm sure his soul was so bright when he was here that that's what they called him, the shiny one.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and they also do a chant, which a friend of mine has experienced, and the chant that they do is, in their language, it's Hu-ta-aya. And translated into English, it means roughly that which is the one comes through us.
Lovely. That's a beautiful saying.
Yeah. So in order for them to be aggressive towards you, you've really got to act a fool when you're out there. Otherwise, they'll either leave the area and leave you alone, or they'll show you respect and kind. So I would say to anyone that's listening, they can have their own experience. Take a good book with you and sit in a chair out in the woods for a couple of hours, and if they don't come around, you didn't waste your time because you read a really good book.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and that makes perfect sense. That's lovely. What about the notion that, for example, in Star Wars, I forget what they call them, something like Ewok or something, you know, those the ones that do look like Sasquatch that were on the ships?
Yeah, there's a group of them to the east of me about 15 miles. I've experienced him, and I want to say he's about 4.5 feet tall, completely hair-covered, and he's an adult. He's probably older than I am, but yeah, I've experienced him, and they're very mischievous. We don't really have a name for them up here, but down in Central and South America, they call them Tata Duende, and they're known for the pranks that they play, or the mischievous pranks that they play, I should say. So yeah, they're here as well.
Hmm. Okay, that's very interesting. All right, so in terms of the interactions, have you ever seen any children type of, you know, youngsters, whatever?
No. Well, I take that back. I got a photograph of one in early 2009. He was probably about 100 yards away, and my Apache brother was with me, and we heard basically a freight train coming through the woods, and he dropped down to hands and knees right next to the barbed wire fence, so all we could see was his head and a little bit of his face. So I just pulled the camera up and went click, and I thought, well, man, if you're going to stay there, I'm just going to take another picture. And I raised it up, and by then he'd moved over about 8 or 9 feet, and I went click and got another picture of him. But the neighbor, my family's neighbor, he had an up-close and personal experience back in 2009 with him, so he gave us full access to the 1,200 acres that they own on that same range of hills right there. So, yeah.
They had interaction with what they think was a child Sasquatch.
Yeah. Armadillos are prevalent here in Texas, and they tend to tear up your garden. He goes outside at night, late at night, with a .22 rifle and a flashlight to hunt armadillos. And while he was out there that night, running across the field behind his house there, he saw a raccoon with his flashlight. And then he noticed that something bigger was chasing it, so he put the flashlight on that. And it was down on all fours, so he thought it was probably a wolf or something. And it caught the raccoon, and they tumbled down the hill. And he said in the 40 years that he's lived there, he's never heard a raccoon make that sound before. So he jogged down to the tree line and got within 20 feet of it, and it would not look directly at him because he was shining the flashlight at it. But it's over the body of this raccoon that is just twisted and mangled, because that's the way they kill them. They tend to twist them and break their spine. But, you know, as he's standing there with this basically a BB gun to one of these people, you know, this thought comes into his head that if you leave it alone, it will leave you alone. So he turned and went back up to his house and left it alone.
Great. Very interesting. Now, I have some people that are writing questions in the chat. Let me see another question here, and it kind of relates to a little bit of what you were just saying. Someone is asking, have you seen any move in a quadruped manner? They're saying that people in Louisiana and East Texas see them drop on all fours, but the ones in the Pacific Northwest don't.
Most of them do that, and I haven't seen that in person, but I've seen the evidence of it, because occasionally I would find half a footprint instead of the whole footprint, and then ahead of that I would find handprints. So their leg bone attaches to their foot more in the middle of their foot than the back of their foot like ours does. So they're able to bend their foot in the middle. So it's like your hand. If you put your fingers on your desk and then raise your arm up, your fingers are still on your desk, but the rest of your hand is not. So that would be similar to the motion of their foot. The front half of their foot is still completely on the ground, and it allows them to go down on hands and feet and run that way, 35, 40 miles an hour easily.
Oh, I see.
Whereas, if we did that, just the ball of our foot and our toes would be touching the ground. So we're not designed to move like that. But, yeah, they can certainly go down on all fours and run at very high speeds.
Okay. Someone else is asking, do you think a Sasquatch can shape shift?
I'm pretty sure that they know more about esoteric energies than we do. In fact, I know they do. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of them do. It's a learned behavior, though, like many things that they know how to do. It's a learned behavior, and some of them excel at it, and some of them don't learn it at all. But, yeah, I would say yes. At times, they can very much look like a bear so that people misidentify what they are or who they are, because it's easy for them to either implant that image in a human's head or shape their body just enough to where they look like a bear instead of a Sasquatch.
Okay, that makes sense. In terms of your own sort of, I guess, spiritual trajectory, what I'm getting is that to some degree you've been interacting with this group. Actually, well, we're getting commercial interruption here, so I'm going to have to ask you the rest of the question on the other side of the hour. So if you just stay tuned, we'll be right back with Thomas Hughes.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com. Or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with used potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Warning. American Freedom Radio has habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Thomas Hughes about Sasquatch. Thomas, I'm wondering, and I started to ask you on the other side of the hour about the idea that that you might be having an experience that has to do with a certain spiritual trajectory that involves interaction with these beings that you've decided to help make people aware on the planet of a bit more about them, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think along those lines? Has that occurred to you?
Well, I speak to anyone who's willing to listen or has questions to ask, but I don't go around trying to promote anything. One thing I clearly understand is that, you know, us American Indians or my ancestors, they considered them our neighbors because they shared the land with them. So every American Indian tribe from Canada to Argentina has a different name for the what I call the hairy folks, and so, you know, the Cherokee or the Salagi, they used to share their burial grounds with the hairy folks because the hairy folks they do bury their dead when they pass on from the body that they're in. So that's why skeletons are never found, and they know where to bury their dead so that archaeologists or explorers can't really find the bones.
All right. So with the acknowledgement, though, that you're giving them and also the sort of awareness that you bring to it, certainly in a sense, you are making other people aware who are not maybe as sensitive as you and or as knowledgeable in terms of the people that don't have a Native American background. It sounds like you're something of a bridge or a communicator in that regard. And I do understand that you're not going around promoting this or pushing a certain way of thought. You're simply doing your radio show, and you've had these experiences and you share them, which is very natural. I just wanted to make that observation about you. Now, I have a few other questions that are coming in to the chat here, so I'm going to see if I can get back to at least one of them that I saw during the break. Oh, yes. Is the Boggy Creek Monster a Bigfoot, someone is asking?
Yes, it is. And that individual was a bit agitated, you might say, because of the actions of humans. It wasn't a matter of him being a monster, but he was very much protecting his family and the area that he lived in, and there were humans invading and not respecting. It's very much the same way as if you just went to somebody's house and walked in the front door without knocking or announcing yourself. I mean, you would not have a very pleasant response. So, these are people. They're not people like us, obviously, but they're a type of people. And so respect is a key word to use, or that I used when I went out the door hoping to maybe see one or because I was seeing signs and hearing things in the woods after I'd said what I said that was not something I was used to. So, there's three things that I observed. I respected their intelligence. I respected them as a people, and I very much respected the fact that it was their choice if they came around, not mine. And that's what led me down the path that I'm on right now. So,
okay, well, that makes perfect sense, and thank you for that explanation. Someone here is asking, do they smell really bad?
Some do. You have to understand that in certain areas, like in Florida, they're called the skunk ape. It's very humid in Florida, so you're going to sweat and you're going to have body odor, and that kind of announces to the wildlife that you're in the area. So the skunk ape or the Sasquatch people in Florida, they'll take handfuls of swamp mud and rub it on certain parts of their body. So naturally, they're going to stink because of that swamp mud. But that way, it covers their own body odor. And when they're hunting for wildlife, deer or hogs, whatever the case may be, the game that they're trying to hunt for can't smell them and be alarmed because, they've covered their scent with swamp mud.
Yes, actually, I've had a wolf dog that does the same thing. They actually roll in dead animals in order to disguise their scent for hunting. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but anyway.
Yeah, they'll do that.
So, okay, well, let's see. I have someone else asking whether or not. Actually, I would like to ask you this. Have you ever touched one or had one try to touch you?
I've had one touch me before. I didn't see it, but I felt its finger on my left shoulder. You have to understand, I was foaming at the mouth, angry that night, and I had the female screaming in my head to come to the woods. I didn't want to because I knew the kind of energy I was emitting. I just didn't want to be around them with that kind of energy coming out of me, but she was screaming in my head, so I grabbed my wallet and keys, out the door I went, drove 10 miles down to my family's place, took out a flashlight and pointed it only at the ground and walked right into the woods. Stopped when she told me to stop, and she said, don't turn around, so I didn't turn around, and I felt this really big finger laying itself on my left shoulder, and it started to really tingle when that finger was on my shoulder, and in about 3 seconds, every ounce of anger left my body. I wasn't angry anymore at all.
Wonderful. So in a sense, they did a sort of a healing on you.
Yeah, they pulled the anger right out of me, so that energy was no longer in my body at that point. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I can reach out to her at times and ask her if she'll take my headache away, and in about 3 seconds, my headache is gone completely.
Okay, very nice. Someone else here is asking, have you had any of them hit you with infrasound?
No, but I've had them. One night I went down there, and it's not infrasound that they project. You have to understand, they're very articulate with their brains or their minds. So they can project fear at you, and you'll go into a fear state. And it has nothing to do with physical sound or anything like that. But they can project fear right into your brain or right into your mind, and you'll go into a fear state. And the way I overcame that night I went down there, because it was the old man doing that to me, the elder, I got out of the car and I got mad right there on the spot. And that produces a different chemical response inside this physical machine that we all inhabit. And it just didn't work anymore at that point. And there was some large limbs being broken and a couple of grunts that night. And I said to the old man, I said, you know, I'm right here. And then I could not run you if I tried, not that I could run anymore, and I can't. I said, so if don't sing it, bring it. And he pretty much calmed down after that. But, yeah, he projected fear right into my mind. And I said, nah, I'm not buying this, no.
So. Okay, great. All right. Well, that's lovely. I think you have a wonderful sensibility about you, I must say. Let's see. Someone else is asking. I mean, I would think that this would be obvious, but I'm going to ask it anyway because the person is repeating their question. They're asking if they morph or camouflage into trees and plant life so as not to be seen by humans.
Well, there's a trick that they know how to do. I've done it myself. I did this as a teenager, long before I ever encountered them. But there's an old American Indian trick that you can do. I've done this before, so I know it's real. I sat on a dead tree that had fallen over in the river bottom while I was squirrel hunting one day. I was 17 years old, and I sat there and just kept repeatedly thinking to myself, I am part of this tree. I'm just a really odd-shaped branch on this tree. I am nothing more than this tree. And about 15 minutes later, three white-tailed does walked within 20 feet of me, and they never saw me. So it's a trick they do. They play on you. They emit those thoughts, and they can also plant the thoughts in your own head that they're simply part of this tree. And, you know, they'll pick a tree that's very close to their hair color, and you won't be able to see them at that point because, you know, they're emitting that energy. But if you're aware of that, you can see them. You can look at them and say, I see you, and all of a sudden they, you know, the expression on their face changes, and it's like, you're busted. But that's something I've done before.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, I have someone else asking, do they have names and names for the tribes or their tribes?
Well, you know, I can't sit here and say that I know names of tribes. I usually deal with individuals, and I know them by name. So it's each individual. That's what I deal with on an individual level, and that there's an etiquette and protocol involved with that. I don't ask them their name, because that's faux pas. So I ask them, what do I call you? And at that point, they either give me their real name or they give me something to call them. So, yeah, they all have names.
Okay, yes, that makes sense. All right, and let's see. Have they ever, someone else is asking, have they ever expressed any advice or desire to have humans take care of the planet more so, or any kind of philosophy of that sort?
They're coming out now, making people more aware of them as time goes on, because in their word, time is growing short with what's going on the planet right now, and so they're making as many people aware in subtle ways that they can, because they shared this planet right along with us. And so they're wanting to make people aware, and that's one of the reasons that I come out and speak about it, because if people are willing to listen, I'm willing to talk about it. Of course, I'm not going to try and force it down somebody's throat or anything like that, but yeah, if people are willing to listen, someone I plan on getting on my show soon is Dr. Melba Ketchum. She's the first geneticist to use human markers in the DNA testing of samples provided, and her results are undergoing peer review right now, but what she's found is that they're between 0.4 and 0.5% off genetically, so that's half a percent or less compared to human DNA or genomes. That's how identical they are to us, 99.5% or more. Are you still there? My internet cut out.
Okay. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, great. My dog is barking in the background here. I'm sorry about this.
That's all right.
But at any rate, do you have a dog, for example? Have you seen them interact with other animals in not as a food source, but in other ways?
Yes, I've got Catahoulas. I've got two Catahoulas, which is an American Indian dog made from four breeds, and one of the breeds of that dog is a Red Wolf. So I figured it was a perfect way for me to have a dog in my life. I'm part Indian, so why not have a part wolf? And I've taken my boy Catahoula out there before to another location, and I knew where they were at, but he would reflect what I knew, because he was watching them intently, and I had to calm him down and make him understand that they're supposed to be here and we're in their home. And he did. He calmed down, he quit barking at them, and he eventually laid down next to me, but I could always tell where they were at, because he was watching, and his ears would perk up and his tail would come up, because he was on guard. He was watching very intently where they were at, and he could see them where I couldn't.
Very interesting. And so are you saying that there has been no interaction between the dog and them, in the sense that he's never, I guess, you know, done what sometimes a dog would do, which is run up and start barking at them?
No. That's something I won't allow my dogs to do, because they would get in trouble in a hurry. it's more a case of the dog or whatever life form you're dealing with has to become acclimated to them, because they are so large and they do smell different than us a little bit. And so my friend in Northeast Texas, she's got a full-blood timber wolf that's about 140 pounds. And after my visit up there, her wolf started going out in the woods by himself for a couple of hours or so. And she'd come back and say, "Man, he stinks to high heaven. I don't know what he rolled in." And I said, he's not rolling in anything. He's playing with the hairy folks up there out in the woods. That's why he's gone for so long."
So. Oh, very interesting. So, okay, well, that's great. Okay, we've got another break here, and then we'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract,
talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
July 4th, come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a 3-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Trafficant.
Man, they railroaded that guy.
Mark and Rose.
Hey, I saw him in Freedom of Fascism.
You want great rock?
We got it.
How about the most influential, hardest working band in the movement today? Poker Feast.
We got the Amaro.
Burn the Ballad.
Ant Killer.
Doug Hawk.
Front to Enemy.
The Crunch.
Kinetic Blue,
Secret System Band,
Scrap Metal Bomb,
Rebel Inc.
Man, that's a lot of bands.
Camp out under the stars along the Delaware River like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton.
What else are you going to do this 4th of July?
Sit around with family members you hate?
Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every year?
No way, man.
I'm going to Freedom Palooza.
Go to FreedomPalooza.com
for all the details.
That's FreedomPalooza.com.
Freedom Palooza.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it, like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation. Grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. We're talking to Thomas Hughes about Sasquatch. Thomas, this is our last about 20 minutes of the show, and it's been a delight having you on. We've got still a lot of questions coming in on the chat room, so if you don't mind, I'm going to continue to go down the list here. someone was asking, and I think it's a good question. I'm going to sort of paraphrase it slightly differently, though. They're asking about the natural healing qualities of the Sasquatch, that it appears that, you know, you've already sort of indicated that they may have. And then on top of it, I'm wondering whether or not they've communicated some of those skills to you.
They have. You have to understand, they know what herbs and plants to use because they're out there in the woods all the time. So whatever kind of ailments come up, they know what to use. Plus, they know how to energetically do things to take care of ailments and stuff. But where the old man and I got on an even keel is I was inspired to take Lipton tea bags. I went and bought one of those 200 count family things of Lipton tea bags out there, and I left it as a gift for them. And as I was driving home, he came into my head and he said, "This thing you leave, can it be put on open sores or cuts?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'll have to look when I get home." So I got on the internet and started looking, and Lipton tea bags are orange and black pico tea. And if you place them on a cut or a wound of whatever kind you get, they're antiseptic and antiviral, and they also help the blood to clot faster. So I mind spoke back to him, "Yes, they can. What are you using for?" And he said, "Well, there is one amongst us that gets boils, and I have to lance them at times, and I was thinking that maybe I could use them on the boils." So I said, "Well, yeah, I'm sure you can, since they're antiseptic and antiviral."
Wow, that's great. so that's a fascinating interaction that you had there. I would imagine vibrationally, though, they've also possibly affected your human vibration to some degree by your interaction with them. Do you think that that's the case?
Well, certainly the prospect of mind speak is not something I'd really considered or worked on. And by learning how to do that and learning how it works, I've also enjoyed MindSpeak with autistic children in Oregon and in Vancouver, Canada, and had adult women on the phone to validate to me. You know, they were gasping in surprise, saying, "How do you know this stuff?" And I'm like, "I don't. I'm just repeating to you what's being told to me." So through my interactions with them, I've learned how to MindSpeak with other species of life. And it's very interesting to hear a squirrel speak to you, or a rabbit, or a dog or a cat speak to you. It's very interesting to hear that come through as audibly as I'm hearing you on this show right now.
Yeah, I bet. Absolutely. Okay. You know, that makes perfect sense. Let's see. I'm just kind of going down the list here to make sure. Now, I know you say you've interacted with individuals mainly, but do you feel that they have a certain kind of a social organization or hierarchical kind of arrangement, or do you think it's a more horizontal kind of interaction? It sounds like you believe that they have families.
They do, and they have tribes or clans, and there is a chief, and there's sub-chiefs. But it's different, or more like American Indians would be, in the sense that the chief or the sub-chief realizes the weight of responsibility that he has to the rest of the tribe. So they don't make decisions based on something they want. They take the counsel of just about everyone in the tribe before they make a decision on something. That's something that I've been introduced to with them, is a weight of responsibility that goes with making a decision. And it's very much the same way American Indians were in their council meetings when they would the tribe had to make a decision about something.
Do you feel that they are peace-loving? It sounds as though you do, but do you sense that they were ever at war at any time?
Oh, yes. There's been, well, the Pawnee have stories, and so do the Apache, of warring with the hairy folks at times. The Pawnee called them the blue hairy men, and what I imagine that means is they probably had black hair, and when in the sunlight, like when you look at a dog or a cat, in the sunlight, they either have a brown hue to their hair or a blue hue. So that's probably why they called them the blue hairy men, because in the sunlight they had a blue tint or hue to that black hair all over their body. But yeah, the Pawnee Indians warred with them at one time, and so did the Apache.
Okay. Do you happen to know what they warred over?
No, I'm not sure about that. I haven't read the stories in a while, but the Apache made peace with them, and the Apache even have stories in their own history of some of the Apache Indians taking some of the hairy folks as mates and having children with them.
Ah.
And so if you connect the dots in a speculative way, you can look at the Wolf Boys in Mexico and realize that a lot of the Apache went across the border into Mexico when the cavalry was hunting them. So these young men have all the facial features and skin tone of Apache Indians, but they have that beautiful condition. Everybody talks about hypertrichosis because they grow hair all over their face and their head, just like the hairy folks do. And they have amazing agility skills, just like the hairy folks do. So it's to me, you know, every 3, 4, or 5 generations later, some of the traits of the hairy folks are going to come forth, and they're going to be noticeable. And that's, you know, this entire family down in Mexico, all of them have hypertrichosis somewhere on their body. So, you know.
Okay. I've got somebody else asking about whether or not in their they're calling it a previous job or mission on planet Earth as guarding in the old days, planet being guardians of the Earth in the old days. I guess they're asking you whether the beings have told you anything about that, or you're aware of that. Or perhaps it's still part of their mission.
Well, it's the word that covers it better is caretaker. And
okay.
So they're very aware of their connection to Earth when they're in a physical body. And so they take care of the world that they live in. They don't do anything destructive to it or try to cause any harm. They're very, very much aware of their connection directly to the Earth in these physical bodies that they're in. So they make sure that they do things that are appropriate. They don't try to go around destroying the Earth and getting coal out of the ground or drilling holes to get oil or stuff like that.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Let me see. Well, at this moment...
There's something very important I wanted to discuss or talk about for everyone to hear that's listening about MindSpeak. What I've said for the last 3 years is that the same, you know, when you're thinking to yourself, your brain is, or your mind is thinking. Electrical impulses are going through your brain. We know that through CAT scans, EEGs, MRIs, all that kind of stuff that we can measure the physiological responses within the brain when you're thinking. Those same thought processes are going through your brain when you're talking out loud. What gets added to the thinking to yourself at that point is the thought processes of making your mouth move, making your vocal cords work, making air come out of your lungs so that you're verbally speaking. But those same thought processes are right there. So if you're out in the woods and you encounter one, you can speak out loud. They may not be able to understand the English language, but they can hear the thoughts in your head, and they understand. And I was really, really frustrated when James Cameron came out with the movie Avatar, because I was going, man, he put in that movie the very thing I've been saying. Because when she's teaching Sully how to ride the horse, she said, you can tell the horse where to go and hear, and she tapped her forehead, and she said, but for right now, simply say it out loud. I'm sitting there going, that's exactly what I've been saying since I started all this. So,
yeah, you know, for sure.
One thing, all life forms on this planet that are mammalian in nature, is one thing we all share in common are emotions. So, you know, when people look at a dog or a cat and they say that dog is sad or it's feeling bad or something, most likely you're picking up on the emotions from that dog, and that's probably the way that dog feels.
Okay, absolutely. We've come to the end of the show, and it's been lovely, and I really appreciate all the information you shared. I think that the listeners have also appreciated it a great deal, and it's been a lot of fun, Thomas. So I encourage you to post the show. You can even replay it if you'd like on your own Blog Talk Radio, and hopefully we'll hear back from you sometime in the future. Please do stay in touch.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
All right, you take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.